Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
In a little under a half hour from now, we will hook up live with our friends in Canada, The Late Shift with Drex. Drex is still out on break, and his friend Shane Hewitt out of Calgary will hook up with him. They just had an election. There's some interesting things when it comes to Canadian politics. I'm looking forward to having him try to explain it. I mean, what goes on with Quebec and about some of these parties and the way that they govern and, you know, Trudeau and all the controversy around them. And there's so much to get to. I want to get to him, and we're going to do that at 12:30, so about 23 minutes from right now. Really looking forward to it. When I read this headline, I had to shake my head and say, of course it would work out like this. Steve Sanger, very corrupt politician. I think we saw the warning signs of just how corrupt he really was before there was even the announcement that an investigation was underway about his corruptiveness, if that's even a word. So they look into him. They find all these instances. He is sentenced. He goes to jail. He gets to one of these cushy jails, as in, does it really count as jail? I mean, considering how he completely took the taxpayer for a ride, took the trust away, and really set the county back, and really, have they gone through the process of reexamining those contracts fully? Because it doesn't seem like they've really made a big deal out of any of the phony contracts and the different crony connections that he had through those. But nonetheless, he goes to jail, and then the article comes out. Former county executive now scheduled to get out of prison earlier than expected. This drives me nuts. And I was talking to Kevin Killeen about this a few weeks back, because when he went to prison for the first time, I was going online and I was checking out the federal inmate website where you can go and type in anyone's name and you can see what their information, where they're at, how long they're sentenced for, things like that. And the date didn't mesh up with the way he was sentenced. And I thought, well, that's a little bit weird, isn't it? It's a little bit weird that he's getting out of prison earlier than what they thought. Maybe it's a mistake. Maybe there's something else factored into it. So I talked to Kevin about it, and he said, well, we got a lot of other stuff going on, but if there's something we can find out, we'll let you know. And then this article pops up. You can find it at KMOX.com. The date for former St. Louis County Executive Steve Sanger to be released from federal prison moved up. Stanger's date to be released from federal minimum security prison now listed as December 27th, 2021, which means his 46-month sentence will actually be 27 months. Doesn't that drive you nuts? Think about what he did, okay? Now, he didn't kill someone. He didn't have a sexual crime against someone, or, you know, rape or molestation or anything like that. You think about some of the most heinous and terrible crimes that are out there. Sure, he didn't have any of those. But tell me this isn't just a slap in the face when you put him into a minimal security prison and you go from 46 months to 27 months. Here's part of the reason why he's going to be getting out early, because Scott Rosenblum tells KMOX the prison system calculates the date based on time inmates can earn while incarcerated. It says any federal inmate in the Bureau of Prisons is able to earn approximately 15% good time, which comes out to about 85% of the sentence. The Bureau of Prisons determines whether an individual qualifies for the program, which is the Residential Drug Abuse Program. Did he have an issue with drugs? I mean, was that even part of the conversation? Did it sound like he had any sort of drug or substance abuse that led or factored into his prison sentence to begin with? Not really. I mean, was there something going on? There's no rehabilitation. He's basically going in there and saying that, well, you know, I promise I won't take drugs. You know what this was like when my friends in Catholic school would have to give something up for Lent? And my one friend, Frank, would say this every year. I give up sushi for Lent. But what, Frank, you never eat sushi. I know. It's he found the perfect loophole. I don't eat sushi and I'm giving it up for Lent. That's Steve Stenger. And that's how he's handling this drug abuse. As far as I know, he might have a substance problem and I shouldn't be making fun of it. As far as we know, I've never seen that reported anywhere. It says, obviously, I would imagine if Mr. Stenger would go down there and start a riot at his camp, he would lose his good time served. Well, there's still hope, I guess, that maybe he gets into some trouble. But then again, even if he does get in trouble, I'm sure they'll find a way to sweep it under the rug. Why do politicians always get preferential treatment in things like this? It's too much. In a moment, I wanted to talk about something else. In St. Louis, police still searching for a driver who veered around a school bus and then hit a child. I have a recommendation on what we can do if we ever catch someone doing this. And then I think it'll stop most people from doing it. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Might have to play this again next hour. Got some Halloween talk next hour, too. Yeah, I can't believe it's already Halloween. Wow, it's right around the corner. I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to this Halloween. I'm going to actually have the night off on Thursday night. So I won't be here on Thursday, which means I could actually go trick-or-treating with my 5-year-old, who is super excited. And my wife and I are wondering, because the house that gives out the full-size candy bars put out the sign that said, for sale. And we're very nervous because we thought, oh, that's the neighbors you don't want to lose. And you know the crazy thing is, you give out full-size candy bars, you're known as those guys. You know, the good house. The one that you can't miss if you're out there. The one you go to first. Maybe second or third or fourth time. But either way, we are hoping to have a good time. And I'm sure we will. And we'll be doing, you know what? It's called the Monster Mash. Good old producer Ben, of course. This week, we should just replace all of our bumper music with Monster Mash every night.
Dracula and his son.
And his son. I'm looking forward to it. Over the past weekend, I had a chance to watch the Evel Knievel documentary. It's on Amazon Prime Video. My dad was a big Evel Knievel fan, and they left out what I thought was one of the most important details of Evel Knievel, which was the lunchbox. If you had an Evel Knievel lunchbox, you were the coolest kid in school, from what I understand. But they didn't mention the lunchbox. They did mention the Evel Knievel toy that you would wind up, press the button, the thing would go off and fly. You know what's really amazing to me? The little coincidences in life that pop up. Because we watched that documentary when my parents were in town. My dad was a big Evel Knievel fan. So there it is. Evel Knievel. Da-da-da-da. Next day, we rent Toy Story 4 because I let my son pick. Okay, it's your birthday. We just had your birthday party. I'll let you pick if you want to rent something. So we rent Toy Story 4, and they have the Evel Knievel character, the Canadian version of Evel Knievel. It's something Kaboom. I can't remember the character's name. But there it was. Next day, I'm like, wow, I just watched the Evel Knievel stuff, and they talked a lot about that toy. Very cool. Something else that's quite a coincidence. My family used to have a cabin in Michigan. My parents purchased this thing well before I was born from a friend of the family's family member. And they had this thing when I was a kid. We used to go up there and we spent a lot of summertime up there. It was really awesome. And my parents recently sold it over the last, maybe 2 years ago, they sold the cabin. And it was, you know, kind of one of those bittersweet moments, you know, a little bit of your childhood's going away and you'll never have that back. And those memories are there. You know, there's those things that occur. Well, I get a friend request from someone that I know in the radio industry. And then I look at where he's at. And okay, what's going on with him? Turns out he lives like 10 minutes away from my parents' cabin that I used to spend all that time as a kid. What a coincidence. It's in the middle of nowhere. How does something like that work out? Amazing coincidences out there. But Evel Knievel did some really crazy things. There was one instance in the documentary where they talk about him going over to Wembley Stadium in front of like 80,000 people. He does this jump where he tries to jump over 14 school buses, and it doesn't work out all that well. And, you know, he crashes, which he's known for a lot of his really dramatic and crazy crashes. Well, he gets up and says, this is going to be the last time I ever do this. And then he comes back to the United States, does a big jump successfully, and then says he's officially retiring. One of his big last jumps here in the United States. Well, he's jumping over 14 school buses. I see this story at KMOX.com. St. Louis police searching for a driver who veered around school bus, hit child, and then drove off. So no description of the driver. This was a black Pontiac. The happened, and it says, St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that the collision broke the ankle of Dylan Jackson, a fourth grader, at Kip Victory Academy, a charter school. His mother said he had to undergo surgery last Thursday night. He had to put some pins in his ankle to stabilize it. Not an easy thing to do. When you have a young kid trying to get around, I know he probably has an easier time healing than a full-grown adult, but my wife had to put some pins in her ankle after she broke her ankle right before we moved here to St. Louis. It was the end of 2016. And it's a very painful and long process that you have to go through. It's not an easy little thing to do. I mean, you have to go in, set it, and then you have to go back for more surgery and whatnot. So police say the boy had just gotten off the bus, was struck by a black Pontiac. Police had no description of the driver, didn't provide any other detail, but the bus driver used the proper signals to warn, and still the person drove through. Now, if you are someone that would try to speed around a school bus that stopped with the stop sign out, knowing that there's kids getting out, and I don't even care. You know, if the school bus is stopped with the stop sign out, you know that there's kids involved somewhere. They're either getting on or getting off. If you're one of those people and you are caught going around a school bus and you hit a kid, I got a couple of different options that should happen here. Here's option number one. If they catch up to you, if they witness you hitting a kid and you try to speed off and leave the scene, if they can stop you from doing that, I think that whoever stops you from doing it has the legal right to break your window, pull you out of your car, and beat you in the street until the police get there and stop you, and then shake your hand and say, well done, good work. That should be it. If you hit a kid going around a school bus, period, there's no sympathy for whatever happens to you next when it comes to street violence. Now, obviously, legally, you can't do that, but, I mean, do we have any reservation for how you treat the people that would hit a kid trying to speed around a school bus? I think, on a more serious note, what you should do is lose your driver's license. I don't know, forever, maybe? Gone. Done. I think you lose the right to drive. You have the license for a reason, and it should be taken and stripped away from you, period. You're now a public transportation or someone else's getting you around, because obviously you can't be trusted behind a motor vehicle. And whoever this person is, and if they hopefully find this person, I hope they do. I really hope they find this person. Let's hope that the repercussions are strong and not light. We see so many light sentencing and little slaps on the wrist. And you get these people that are out there saying, oh, the person, they're going to lose days of work if you have to give a court date. Or, oh, if they have to go to prison, they might lose their job. And now you're just in a vicious cycle of homelessness and this and that and then and that. And, oh, now they're going to get back on payments and they're going to lose this and that. So, you know what? It's probably better that you just don't do anything to these people. Forget that. I'm sick of this junk. You know, we find that these people are very sympathetic to the personal choices that people make, but they don't want any punishment for those personal choices that people make. You made a choice to go around the school bus. You happened to hit a kid. You made a choice to speed off. There should be no sympathy for you. There should be instant jail time. You should lose your license. I don't know, forever. Maybe that should be a start. You know what? I don't care if you're stuck with having a hard time with your personal life after that. I don't care. No one should care. No one should care what happens to that person after. When we come back, I want to get to our friend Shane Hewitt, who's in Calgary. He does the late shift. I'm a big fan of the work that they do over there, and he's filling in for our friend Drex. They just had a big election. Maybe he can explain to me some of the things that go on politically in Calgary. It's Overnight America, KMOX. In roughly 60 seconds from now, we're going to hook up with our friends in Canada with the late shift. Shane Hewitt is the host tonight. I got a text message from Greg. It was good to hear from Greg again tonight. And it was funny, the way he mentioned a few other things. Corruptiveness, I like that word. Okay, but the one thing he mentioned was, important father question, will you eat your son's candy without asking? On Halloween, it is called the dad tax, right? You're allowed to go in and do this sort of thing. My son shamed me, and I feel like I'm not allowed to do this anymore because I didn't like the way it felt when he shamed me. So when my son got any sort of candy, whatever it may be, from school or trunk or treat or whatever it is, if he's got a little, you know, Tupperware full of candy, I went in and I ate one. I picked it up and I ate it. And later I said, I ate one of your pieces of candy. You know what he said to me? He said, that's okay, Dad, but you should have asked. Hit me right in the heart. You're right. I should have asked. So there it is. All right, let's hook up with our friends in Canada. Shane Hewitt's filling in for Drex. Let's see if they are there.
Oh, yeah, we've got Ryan. We can hear him. Got that handsome voice there.
Oh, Shane, how are you, man?
Good, brother. How are you? It's been a little bit. It's been a minute.
It has been. I was out the last week, and I understand you just came off of a holiday last Sunday. Is that right?
Holiday last Sunday. Oh, you mean like Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Or do you mean me being on a holiday? Because I don't know if you're trying to twist my ears right now, because I was supposed to be in Hawaii, but now I'm here.
Oh,
so
no.
So I don't know if that's a joke or...
No, the Canadian Thanksgiving was last Sunday. Normally, so we picked the dates of Sunday to do these crosstalks after my schedule here changed a little bit. And then I messaged Drex and he said, oh, that's okay. We're off anyway this last Sunday because of Canadian Thanksgiving. So why are you in Calgary and not Hawaii?
Well, because Drex is not here. That's the reason why.
What, you canceled your vacation for Drex?
Well, I like Drex. He's a good guy. He's my brother.
I know, I but you canceled a vacation for him.
Well, I'll still go. Don't worry.
I just
had this
it.
Thing. Yeah, I love your beautiful state of Hawaii, and I had this thing where I was going to try to go three times before Christmas, and now that has been complicated slightly.
Hawaii is complicated. Number one, it's so expensive to live out there. They have a major homeless issues, too.
Yeah, they do. 10 cities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yep.
You're going to delay it. Do you have any kids that you travel with, or is this just like you and the significant other?
Well, I'm divorced, but thanks for reminding me. I do like to take my kids. In this particular one, this was going to be just me going and having a relax. I have a buddy who lives in Honolulu. I met him on a golf course in Calgary, actually.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
And he lives out there in Honolulu. So that's really cool.
He does. Yeah, so that was it. That was just going to go have a little relax.
Look at this.
You know, lie on one of your beaches.
Within a minute and a half, I rub it in that you are not in Hawaii, and I also rub it in that you're divorced, so I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, that's all good. Thanks, buddy. That's my life right there. That's pretty much it.
90 seconds to explain your life.
Yeah, so far, you know when you put hand sanitizer on and you find out that you have a paper cut?
Oh, yeah. I hate when that happens.
Yeah, that's what this conversation is kind of like right now.
That happens all the time to me, though. I have this issue where I bite my nails, and then I bite the skin around my nails. And then and anytime I use hand sanitizer, I immediately know it that there's an area where I might have bit too much.
Is it a nervous habit, or is it just, what is it?
I really don't know. I've done it pretty much my whole life, even when I was a kid. My parents at one point tried to put clear nail polish on my nails to try to discourage me from doing it. It didn't stop me. And only once in my life have I been able to stop biting my nails. It was when my wife, right before we were married, she said, they're going to be taking pictures of our hands. You better make sure they look good. So stop biting your nails. And I was able to do it there. But outside of that, I continue to bite them. I don't know. I just do it.
That's it. Hey, it was the fear of wife. That was your first act of good husbandry. I don't know if that's a word. I might have just made that up.
You know, you had an election last week.
Yeah, we did, and the outcome was meh.
Meh?
Meh.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we don't have a, here, we can have the minority government. A little bit different, sort of, than the U.S. government in that, you know, we don't elect the prime minister, right? Mm-hmm. It's the party system. So it's how many seats they win, and very similar to what you have gone through and known in the past with a majority of the popular vote, but then not enough. Here we call them ridings, but, you know, seats to have control. And that's what happens now, was that we don't have a majority inside the government. So there's no rubber stamping of anything. The parties are going to have to work together. And it's possible we'll have another federal election in a year, 2 years. Who knows?
That's interesting. So we have the Senate and the House, and the party that has as the majority leader, you know, the minority leader, whatever, and they do their own internal type of election to who they're going to put up to that status, you know, the majority leader or whatever. So, you know, like Nancy Pelosi is one of the leaders here, and they have all the Democrats do a vote, and are they going to put her in, or are they not, or whatever, whenever there's some sort of change in the direction there. But you do that, so your prime minister is actually elected that way? Whoever's the majority of the political parties gets to pick who's the prime minister?
Yeah, they pick beforehand, so everyone knows who it is, but that's the leader of the party, and a very similar, much less lengthy process that you guys go through. But they have the leader going in, so you know who the leader of that party is, and you get to decide if that party is the party that's right for you.
Wait, so do you vote for a prime minister, or is the prime minister just the outcome of who collects a seat in the whatever the house would be called or whatever in
Canada. Parliament, you don't vote for the prime minister here at all, ever. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't. So I mean, a lot of people will do that through the party, but yeah, it's not like it is there. I have a question about that for mm-hmm. you guys. So do you find that, you know, sort of everyone kind of fits in there, not everybody, that was unfair, many people fit in either their Democratic or Republican box down in the States.
Oh yeah.
Now, do you find that deliberately vote? Okay, so, you know, you vote for Trump, you like Trump, but then you don't want him to have too much control, so you vote for something different inside the House or the Senate. Does that ever happen?
Not for that reason. I don't think people see having too much power as a negative, so I don't think they try to check and balance themselves. And I think really, it's weird because I was looking at all the different political parties that you have people in office for in the parliament. Like here, pretty much you're going Republican or Democrat. It's just really a two-party system. And if you look at the Senate, you have 100 Senate seats. You have two representatives from each state. If there's 100 Senate seats, you might have two independents of in 98 that are either going to be Republican or Democrat. There's really not a third party. So when people go out there and vote, they want that power. They want to have the most power because sometimes there's going to be a vote that goes down party lines, some really important votes in the country that go on, that we've seen go right down party lines. Right now, the big thing is perhaps there could be a vote for impeachment of the president. So that's mm-hmm. something that'll probably go down party lines too. So that's why you want to have that power. So there's no one that would say, oh, there's too many Democrats in office or too many Republicans in office, so I'll vote for an independent. Nah, that doesn't happen.
Interesting. Very interesting.
You know, I was looking at some of your different ones because I got a rundown from Robert, which is pretty great that he sent that to me. So 157 seats for the Liberals, 121 seats for the Conservatives, and then you have 24 for the New Democrats. What's a New Democrat?
Well, they're younger than the old Democrats.
I'm
only joking.
Stand up. You're here all week.
Yeah. Come buy tickets. We're three shows a day. No, the New Democrat Party is a very liberal-leaning party. You know, they're sort of the workers' party, blue-collar party, very union-affiliated, typically. Sort of a left-leaning party. So they sort of fall on that left-hand side of the spectrum alongside the Liberals. And then there's also the Bloc Québécois. I don't know if you saw that on the list.
Yeah. So what's that?
Well, so imagine that Alaska wanted to leave.
Uh-huh.
And imagine Alaska had its own federal party mm-hmm. that was all about leaving.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's like in Quebec with the Bloc Québécois.
You could say California.
They're federally. Well, I could have said California. Yeah, that's true. So that's what it's like. It's a sometimes they go away and then sometimes they come back, but they're essentially what the lazy language is there, the separatist party. And they typically stand for Quebec separating from Canada and becoming a their own country. And
that's weird.
And that's what they got voted in for, the representation. They got a lot of seats too.
Well, help me understand this. So Quebec as an area, do the people of that area want the area to be separate? So they vote for this Bloc. How do you say it? Bloc
Québécois.
Is it just Québécois. A large majority of people in that area vote for it, and that's why you get seats? Or do you find that people across all of Canada want to support Quebec being independent?
There are some people who wish they would go away in Quebec for sure. But let me put it to you this way. The license plate, you know how license plates have the little statement on the bottom, you know, of the whatever state or whatever mm-hmm. the province. Alberta, where I am, it's Wild Rose Country. Beautiful British Columbia, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Quebec, it says "Je me souviens" on the bottom, which is "I remember."
Mm-hmm.
And that's about remembering the old Quebec. So right on the license plate, it says, you know, I remember the old life. I remember the old place. I remember, you know, the old way of being. So literally on the license plate, it says, you know, I remember the old way.
Wow.
So that should give you a bit of a clue as to the general popular consensus of what the province generally votes for.
So would Quebec be like if the United States still had Confederates and like they were still trying to succeed?
Yeah, kind of. They just want to be their own country. Yeah, kind
Maybe
of.
Maybe it would be rise again. One of those deals.
It is kind of like that. And now since the election, that same conversation has started in Western Canada, too, with their own very lazy name, Wexit. like Brexit, but for the West.
And, for a while there, everything was fill in the blank gate. So if there's a problem, it was, you know, thanks to Watergate, it was like something gate or bridge gate or lazy gate.
Yep.
Da, da, da. So now it's like you got to add letters in front of exit. So Brexit and Wexit and all, you know, that's the new thing.
That is the new thing. And so in Alberta, they say the research says 1 in 4 Albertans say that they would support looking at separating from Canada.
Wow.
So I don't know. I don't personally, I happen to like Canada. I think it's a pretty all right country. I think it's a pretty great place to live. So I would not like to see that change, even though I live in Alberta. And I hope that's not the case.
What happens more often? People want to leave and succeed, or at least their area becomes independent from Canada, or Justin Trudeau wants to leave the color of his skin and change that to a different color?
I don't know. He certainly does that a lot. And it didn't.
It didn't affect it at all, it seems like.
No, it's one of those things, you know, when all the stuff, even with the election about Clinton and Trump and the, you know, the secret mic tapes on the bus and all those things. I mean, both elections saw a lot of those things, and people just don't seem to care. Brown face, black face. I mean, this is a prime minister that has conflict of interest proven against him in some of the things that he's done. And here are the Canadians still voting for him.
There it is, still voting for him. So do you think most people, you said the election was meh. Do you think most people are happy with the outcome, or do you think they're like you? They're like, eh, whatever.
I think it's the kind of outcome where nobody's happy, nobody's satisfied. Just one of those. I think it's probably good for the United States that it happened this way. I think there's a lot less competition with the Liberal Party there, because they're not big on oil and they're not big on, you know, all of that stuff. So if the Conservative Party had come in, there probably becomes more business competition in and around oil for sure.
Mm-hmm. The business.
So that's, I mean, yeah. So I think that in the business competition side, this works out in favor of Americans, I would say.
Huh. Interesting. Well, the Canada, the United States, Mexico is still going through that new trade deal, and you see Justin Trudeau. I got to say, my general observation of Justin whenever there's some sort of national summit is he looks lost. So maybe he has a little bit more experience now. He won't look as lost, but I'm not too optimistic on something like that. It's fascinating all the different parties that you have. And to me, I didn't realize that they're all represented in a certain way. Do they mostly get along, or is there a lot of fighting in the parliament?
There's a lot of fighting. There was a scrappy election, probably the most nasty that I've really paid attention to. The dirt that was tossed around was more than the platforms. It's very similar to what Americans went through. It was hard to cut through all the BS to find out, oh, okay, is this person actually have a brain in their head or not? And that was really a big part of what we went through inside the election this time.
Wow.
You know, it's become very similar.
So you guys do Halloween. So like you had your Canadian Thanksgiving, which is a different date than American Thanksgiving. Ours is, end of November, and you just had yours. So Halloween, is it on the same day, last day of October, October 31st?
That's right. All the same.
Yeah.
Yep. And everyone dresses slutty.
You know what? You know, there's a tradition here in St. Louis that is only done here in St. Louis that you may find fascinating.
What's
so
that?
When you trick or treat, the St. Louis tradition is you have to tell a joke to the person that's giving you candy in order to get the candy.
Really?
Yeah, you tell a joke.
Really? So everyone who comes to the door, knock, knock, you know, trick or treat, and then you have to tell them a joke?
Yes, from the ones that ask for it. It's a St. Louis thing, and they'll go up to the door, and I would say from my own experience over the last year of trick or treating, because I'm still fairly new to St. Louis, I would say over the course of the neighborhood, five of them asked me for a joke. Well,
really?
My kid. But my kid's so young, he doesn't, they give him a little pass on it. But they use this as, it's like a cultural thing where it's like, you know, we're going to be, it's fun to do this. It's not just you coming up, getting candy and leaving. It's more of a way to connect with your neighbors, I guess. And it, apparently it goes back, I was listening to some of the traditions of trick-or-treating, and there might be some sort of like connection with the way that trick-or-treating started when it comes to telling a joke. And it's, I think we're the only ones that do it. I've never heard that anywhere else.
No, I've never heard that. That's really kind of cool, but it seems lengthy, right? It's kind of like, you know, give me the goods and catch you later.
Isn't it, though?
You know, it seems like there would be a lineup at the door, right? Like a stand-up comedy lineup. When you get the red light, you got to leave.
What do you give out? Do you give out candy?
I do. I like to give out some. I would rather give out big bars and you know, go to Costco and get the big bars and the
wow.
big things. And then,
full-sized.
And then run out of that and, you know, because I don't know. I feel like that's... I mean, I'd be the favorite neighbor.
I know. Yeah. Everyone remembers the house that gives out the full bars. No one forgets them.
No, right?
Yeah.
Some of them recycle candy from last year, I swear.
I know. You can with the amount of candy you get. We put out the bowl and let them take whatever they want. We decide to do that because we go
the
out.
First and, three people.
You know, people are honest. Bowl. We have one of those rings, so we have the camera there so we can see if someone's doing it. And I think that keeps people honest when they have a camera looking at their face. You know,
yeah,
that seems to help out pretty well.
Happy Halloween, you're on camera, smile.
Yeah, but the last one, there's still candy left in the bowl. It's not like it was
really,
all gone.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wow, that does not happen here, man. You're the first two kids that come, that bowl is empty. See you later. They're gone.
So are you in the rest of the week?
I'm here tomorrow.
Okay, you're here tomorrow.
And then Drexy's going to be back after that. He's feeling a little better. So
when are you going to Hawaii?
Well, I don't know. I've still got to figure out that part of the schedule shuffling. I was going to go on Wednesday, actually, but now I found out that I can't shuffle something on Saturday. So I was just going to go for a couple of days.
Isn't that great?
Just
get up and go.
Yeah.
You could be doing this interview from Canada right now. Or excuse me,
right?
Not Canada, from Hawaii. I don't want to say that.
I was going to say, you want me to come on your show from Hawaii? I'll gladly do it.
Oh, that'd
awesome.
Be cool. Yeah. Get the all hookup down there. Well, I think it's so cool.
That could be a bit. Canadians in Hawaii, right? Maybe we could, it's a tax write-off anyway, if nothing else.
That sounds like a 70s sitcom, doesn't it? Canadians in Hawaii, or like an SNL skit, something like that.
Well, those 70s, 80s shows in Hawaii are back, so.
Oh, yeah. Shane
Maybe we
Hewitt.
Got a thing.
I'm so glad we had a chance to hook up tonight.
Oh, it's nice to chat with you again, Ryan. Thank you so much.
I love it. Thank you.
Take care. Ryan Recker at Camel.
Ooh, that's the late shift. Our friend Drex, it sounds like we'll be back next Sunday night. And it's always great when we get to talk to Shane. And again, 90 seconds into the gate, I already jabbed him twice in the kidney. So it's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back. It's Overnight America. All right. Well, got a couple minutes here in the next hour. Yeah, we're going to talk some Halloween. I'm a little excited for this topic because there's some interesting things out there. And Kevin Kleen did a great whole nother story on the Office Halloween costume contest. So good. I have a week of whole nother stories to catch up from. Last week, we had my parents in town and we decided to go on the loop trolley one last time. We went to the History Museum. My dad grew up in St. Louis and they have some exhibits of St. Louis, what it was like growing up in the area, and I know he would really enjoy it. So we took him to the History Museum. He had a great time, and I thought, you know, there's probably only maybe 3 weeks left in this loop trolley before it's all closed down for good. There's no way they're going to get this money for funding. I mean, they're probably going to temporarily close it, and then you know what that means. So I said, you know, I got nothing to lose. I have no place to go. Like, it's like if I'm late for something, it's not going to happen on vacation. If the thing breaks down, I'll be able to afford to sit there an hour while they figure it out. It won't be the worst thing in the world because I won't be late for something else. So I go on the loop trolley, and actually it worked pretty well. In fact, it showed up a little bit late to the History Museum. It said, I think it started at 11 a.m., but it didn't show up to the History Museum till like 11:20 or so. And that's one of the first stops. There's only one trolley running. The other one was just preemptively taken down. So whatever. We got on it. We got off of it. Went to Fitz's. Got ourselves some, you know, nice food. Came back to the History Museum. No problems. Loop trolley. Little too late at this point. Kevin Kleen did one last whole nother story on it. Well, it might not be the last one, but For me, it felt like it was one of the last times.
Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime?
These have been hard times for Luke Trolley visionary Joe Edwards of Blueberry Hill. His trolley is faced with a $700,000 shortfall. They need some of that now and the rest by the spring to keep it running. But Edwards, ever the optimist, says it'll work out.
It's tricky. It's a tricky time. But I think we don't get, you know, in St. Louis, we don't give up on our sports teams, even though it really looks dire.
How's this playing among local politicians? First, in the city of St. Louis, the Board of Aldermen, they are not too excited about helping the trolley.
It is a bad idea. We've got to stop the boondoggle.
I am adamantly opposed to it. I thought it was a ridiculous project in the first place.
I hate to see the thing fail. I hate to see us have to pay the government back all the money, but I hate to see the government have to pay the price because Joe Edwards' mom and dad didn't buy him a train set when he was a kid.
And last week, St. Louis County politicians weighed in.
I think it's laughable. Talking to my colleagues, no one has a stomach for this project.
What's their business model in terms of what was it from the beginning, and why are they falling so short on where they are right now? Did they just figure this out now?
Say, don't you remember?
Trolley supporters are saying the only way out of this mess may be for some wealthy donor to come forward. Somebody who likes trains. And somebody who can spare $700,000. With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Wouldn't you want to meet someone that could spare an extra $700,000? I would also like to meet that person. Oh, yeah, they don't exist. Ooh, boy, yikes. Well, unless they live in this area and very philanthropic and they must have the trolley going. You know what they posted on the St. Louis subreddit? They said, why don't you just make the entire Del Mar Loop area pedestrian only? Why don't you just close the streets down? People like that idea. Okay, no thanks. Well, if the traffic's already terrible, it didn't help with the trolley. When we were on the trolley, this was just one of those things. I kept pointing it out to my wife as we sat on this thing. There was a problem with one of the doors not closing properly, and when that happens, the thing refuses to move. Well, as they were trying to troubleshoot this thing, and even though it only took about, 3 or 4 minutes before they got it back in operational, you look back and you just saw, as far as the eye can see, cars backed up behind this thing. It was pretty bad. All right, when we come back, why do we tell jokes in St. Louis during Halloween? KSDK did a story. We'll talk about it next.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.